Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. And again, one of our favorite weeks, which is majors weeks. We love all the majors. And here we are on the cusp of getting ready for the Open Championship at St. Andrews, 150th anniversary, all kinds of pomp and circumstance surrounding this year's event. Even Jack Nicklaus is getting special attention. Tiger's going to play. We'll see how that all shakes out. So a lot to talk about coming up on this show. So thanks a lot for being with us. We have Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf, his managing partner for years and years, a guy who knows Tiger about as well as anybody we know. And let's be honest, he was really the brains behind it. It wasn't Hank. It was Steve Johnson making sure that Tiger won those 10 majors. Let's just be clear about that.
Hey.
And he'll join us. Frank Bassett, also in the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
I have just been told that I was not invited to the dinner tonight at the Arnaz.
Oh, is that right? They left you out.
Is disincluded a word? I don't know.
It's a Scottish word. Yes.
You've been disincluded. You can't come.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't know I was included.
Now I want the scotch to hell with the dinner.
Hey, you heard Steve chiming in there second. Steve, we'll bring in right now because I know you're a busy guy and you got things to do. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good, guys. Doing good. I'm looking forward to the tournament this week.
You know what? It was really fun watching it yesterday, though, with the 1, 2, 17, and 18 and the groups to see Trevino with McIlroy and Tiger Woods. And every time Trevino would start talking, did you notice that Tiger and Roy would just stop and listen to everything he said? Just everything. Seriously.
Stop. And by the way, when does Lee stop? Does that ever happen?
No, it doesn't. You know that.
If you've been around Lee much, the chatter doesn't stop. I mean, I don't know how anybody else gets any airtime.
I can't remember who Lee the player was, and Steve may know this, but there was a time when he was playing with either it was Raymond Floyd or somebody. I don't know who it was. But they turned to him and said, "Look, Lee, I don't the talking's just out of the question." Lee said, "That's no problem. All you have to do is listen."
I think that was David Graham.
Was it David Graham?
I think that was David Graham. I think he said, "Yeah, I really don't want to talk today." He said, "That's okay. You don't have to talk. Just listen. I'll do all the talking."
Yeah, ask my wife. That's how that works.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Uh-huh. Lee. No, I'm saying Lee's wife. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure everybody around him that has gotten to know that over the last 82 years.
So, Steve, what's going on in Dallas?
Oh, man, it is so hot here. It is so hot here.
Frank.
Oh, it's brutal here.
So hot. Every day.
It's brutal here, too.
Every day.
102 or 103 today, heat index for us.
Yeah.
It's like you're in an oven.
Yeah.
I mean, it really it is.
It's so hot and dry. Like, we haven't had, I think there was a sprinkle on Sunday, Frank, even though I think Sunday was the hottest day in Texas this year. I think we all hit.
It evaporated before it hit the ground, right?
Yeah. So there were some sprinkles, which I didn't get, and some people apparently did. That's like the only sign of rain, like in 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I mean, I've got a creek behind my house. It is bone dry. And it's not normally, you know, flowing like the Colorado or anything, but it's got a foot of water. So it's a nice little creek. There's nothing. I mean, it's just, we're kind of desert bound here, and we're in the midst of, I think we've had 10 straight 100-degree days. We're on our way. I think they said another 10 are coming, so it's going to be like 20 in a row. It's just, it just doesn't
stop. You're lawn dead,
so if you're
huh?
Play golf, is your lawn dead? Do whatever. No, I'm wondering. You can only do 2 days a week, and you got restrictions. But,
Steve,
I'm trying as much as I can.
Steve, what's your water bill? Your water bill's got to be choking
you. It was expensive this last month, $7,800 last month.
Oh my goodness. And what was it at the golf course?
That's more than I expect.
No.
Yeah, that's your house. The golf course.
Lay off the Mexican food. You'll be fine.
I'd get ticketed if I did $7,800 in my house. We irrigate the tees and the greens here at the golf ranch. So I was thinking, we are going to be super high. We're going to be in the 10,000s. But $7,800, not bad.
He's talking about the Golf Ranch, which is Steve's facility in north of Dallas. The Golf Ranch. Check out thegolfranch.net. If you're ever in the Dallas area, you want to hit some balls and work with their technology and get a coach out there to work with you. It's a cool facility.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Tim.
$7,800. Yeah. It's a little bit
sick. You only say it because it's true.
Yeah, that's
because it's great.
Well, everything's burned up here, but we luckily, my club here happened to have a cloud over the top of it for about 4 hours. And so we were cart path only day before yesterday for the first time in a year.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's dried out already. So, yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal everywhere.
Frank, we got to talk. We really got to talk personally. Now, I got a call from Tim a few months ago, well, about a month ago, and he said, hey, Frank is really struggling. And if he came out to Dallas, you know, would you watch him? I said, that's not really the best plan because, I mean,
yeah.
although I'd love to watch you, I mean, you need to have somebody that's an ongoing. It needs to be an ongoing game plan, you know? And I just thought,
Dallas a lot.
You can?
Yeah.
Sure. That's a solution, yeah.
I have a gazillion airline points.
Maybe need somebody in Nashville.
Well, who do we have in Nashville?
Find somebody in Nashville.
There are a lot of really good coaches all over the place.
Yeah, but Steve Johnson is like the Steve Johnson. That's why I wanted to come to you.
Have you sent him the video? Remember, I told you. No,
I didn't.
Steve will give you some.
I bought a camera to do that with. So,
well, all you need to do is with your phone. Just with your phone.
He knows.
No, I know, but yeah. But it's hard. I can put the camera on. I don't have any friends, guys. I don't have any friends, so I don't have anybody to hold the camera.
Video.
So I'll put the tripod out there and put that new Zoom camera on there.
Yeah.
But Steve will give you detail, by the way, and you'll do that. You'll do that for anybody that's listening, right, Steve?
Yeah.
If they send it to, what's the email? Where do they need to send it?
sjohnson@champgolf.net. sjohnson@champgolf.net.
So if you're listening in New Zealand and in Norway, in Australia, and all the places that are big fans of ours.
Our shows of her, yeah.
Send a video to Steve right there. And just need, what, Steve, just a down-the-line shot, right? A 10, 15-second video is all you need.
Where you're aiming. I can see the target.
The
I can see your swing shape. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just got a video from a guy in Austria, an Austrian pro, sent me a video. Man, the driving ranges there, guys, are just phenomenal.
Oh, with the Alps in the background or something?
Yeah. I bet that's gorgeous, yeah.
It is beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. But they have swing problems just like we do here.
Yeah. All of us do. Steve, honestly, I start coming, you know, the 7 o'clock to 1 o'clock, you know, back, you know, my backswing to 7 o'clock on the clock, and then swing out to 1 o'clock and, you know, roll my hands. But I've started coming, like, in tighter and tighter. So, and then it throws you over the top. That's my bad habit right there.
Okay.
It's too much inside. Too much inside.
Fix that, Frank.
Yeah, well, I worked on it. I did fix it the other day on the course.
See, that's what, right, do. That's what Steve can do for you, too. He'll tell you right there. Just fix it.
Just fix
it. Just fix your problem. Yeah. Next question. Fix your problem. Let's move on. All right, Steve, let me ask you about the big week this week coming up, and we'll go backwards a little bit, and that is the Scottish Open, and the guys played, and Scheffler played well, and I'm sure Xander Schauffele played well. Spieth did not finish very well. That's been a problem for him. He was doing fine and only one shot out of the lead. Is it a good indicator? Do you think it matters the week before for guys? Or because it sure seems like sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Is it irrelevant if somebody has a good week before a major tournament? Will they necessarily play well at the major?
Gosh, Tim. You know, it's just all those guys could win in any particular week. Now, the weather's going to be really nice. It's supposed to be really nice. 70-something degrees there.
What they say.
Slight breeze.
Yeah, no wind.
I mean, they could just tear this course up. Now, at St. Andrews, they don't get the greens super fast because in case the wind does come up, they want to keep the course playable. So I think this thing's going to be very scoreable. We were talking yesterday in the shop. And I said, I would give you pick five guys that you think could win the tournament, and I will take the field. Pick five guys.
Right.
It could be Rory. It could be
that open.
Scheffler. Oh, I mean,
well, that's two I would pick.
Can you pick? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what about this, though, Steve?
Thomas, Rom.
They were talking yesterday, and I was watching them play, and, you know, the event, that really cool event they had with the people who had different challenges in life and limb problems and all that. But the ball was rolling forever, and it's not even Thursday yet.
Yeah.
And there's no rain predicted.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to tear this course up.
But don't you think that maybe if they get it a little offline, it's going to roll into trouble every time?
But these guys can control the distance that ball's traveling.
That's true.
I mean, they know – it's not like one fairway is is hard and fast, and the next one is soft and you know, and rip very slow. So these guys can gear their games into to the conditions.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, if the greens get really, really firm and fast, they're going to have to the best option is, you know, bouncing it up there and, you know, guys that really right. can play different shots. So I'm really looking forward to
Tiger,
it.
Tiger went back to the old, like, I chip. If I'm on a really tight lie around the green, I use an 8-iron and just kind of bump and run it if it, you know, mm-hmm. calls for it. Tiger did that yesterday, and the commentators said, oh, that's old school. So what wedge would you use and what grind would you use, Steve, if you were there at the Open, what wedges would you put in your bag?
It really depends on the shot. If you've got to carry over a bunker, Frank, then I'd use a more lofted club. The greens are not really elevated, you know, like we see in the modern courses, like we saw a few weeks ago in the U.S. Open. We've got these green complexes that are 25, 30 feet above the fairway.
Yeah.
You can roll a lot of these up. You'll see a lot of guys putting off the green. You'll see chipping and running. You do have better control of the ball when the ball's rolling on the ground.
But would you say not a lot of bounce at all with that tight lie?
Well, you know what? I'd have to see the lie. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what they. I don't know what height they mow these fairways at. The course looks beautiful.
Yeah,
but,
it does. Yeah.
But you know, I've never been there, so I couldn't tell you exactly what the conditions are like. Now, when the greens
we're talking with Steve. Fairways,
oh, go ahead, Tim.
Just resetting. We're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, also owner of the Golf Ranch in Dallas. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When the lies are real tight in the fairway, most of the guys are going to bump and run it.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of cushion underneath the ball. There's not a lot of thatch. The ball's not sitting up like it would be on Zoysia, and you could hit those lob shots.
Right.
You know, it just gets much more difficult.
Yeah. It's going to be a great. I'm 150th, and we're talking about the way it's going to play, and you think they're going to burn it up, and most of the people out there on the Golf Channel are saying the same thing. But there is an issue that we're talking about that occurs tonight, and that would be the past champions dinner, and someone was uninvited.
Yeah, that
Greg Norman
that was unfortunate.
Was told not
That's
to come.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
So what do you what do you think about that, Steve? We're talking about Greg Norman was asked because of the whole live golf thing. We'll mention that in a little bit or talk about that in a second. But for the champions dinner, everybody else gets invited. And I guess the point somebody else made to me is, okay, so Greg Norman doesn't because of the live thing. Do they use other criteria for other guys not to get invited? What if somebody has some record problems with the police? What if somebody did some domestic issue? Are other things? So suddenly now you don't get invited. And is that the worst egregious thing that any past champion of 30 of them or whatever is going to be invited? It is a little bit, it makes it a little bit petty, I think, for the PGA Tour, Royal and Ancient, to go, no, we just don't want you because of this, because of your competitive golf thing, not because you're O.J. Simpson, but because of this.
Right.
It certainly, it opens a can of worms, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it creates a new story. You know, I mean, the story should be about the competition and honoring these past champions. Now the story becomes, hey, you know what? Greg Norman's not going to get invited, and, you know, they're snubbing him, and none of the guys that are playing in the LIV, the Live Tour, none of them are getting invited to the press room. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, that's a little bit petty.
It's gotten petty.
Yeah.
It really has. Yeah. And we saw it coming.
It makes him look like a bit of the big bully who, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go play over here and you don't get to play with me. And I think in this world, and we're talking big name players that have gone to the Live Tour, and I think more names are going to continue to go to it. At some point, you've got to sit down. As much as you don't like it, and Frank, you've been in business a long time, there are businesses that compete, and then there's mergers. But at some point, you have to sit down, even if you didn't like the person or even if you didn't like the company because they competed against your company.
Yeah.
If you have to have it work out, you can't just necessarily close everybody off and act like you live in a bubble. You have to go, okay, how do we make this work for everybody? And right now, Norman has said, we're open to talking to anybody. We'll talk. We're there. We'll go to the table. The other sides have not been ready to do that. And it does make them look, I think, to a lot of people like,
you know, they're feeling the hurt and they don't want to show it. I'm like, if you think you're the RNA, you're the PGA, that you're fine and good, include everybody. Go, yeah, we'll talk. You guys want to do that? Here's the rules, but we're not. Instead, they act like, you know, kind of big spoiled kids, don't they?
Well, Roy McIlroy, and you guys have heard this, he's changed his tune from several months ago. Mm-hmm. Now he's saying, well, maybe there were some mistakes made here in not having a conversation.
Yeah.
So, it's like the Reginald Denny thing. Can't we all just get along? You know, let's figure out a way to make this work.
And Koepka,
or at least
certainly said back in January, February, I have no interest in the LIV Tour. I'm a PGA Tour guy, blah, blah. Then he switched, right? So what Rory has said, what Spieth has said, Scheffler, anybody else has said can certainly be recanted. It has been. In politics, you can suddenly change your mind. Just because they've said that doesn't mean – and by the way, did you guys see the nice little trip over that the guys took from Portland? I guess that was the plane going from Portland to Scotland.
Yeah.
They're going to play in the Scottish Open. Did you see that, Steve, the video?
I did. I saw that. That was –
I'm digging that.
Man, I didn't know that. I didn't know Jets were that big.
It was like a lounge in Vegas that was 35,000 feet up, right? Oh, I mean, there were strobe lights,
free blues,
beautiful bars and the seats and couches. And stuff. You didn't think you were on a plane for those guys. If that's what we're talking about. So they're treating these guys, I think, like maybe they're
royalty.
They say, okay, that's the way the NFL treats guys. That's the way the NBA treats their guys, right? They take care of you. You stay at top hotels. You do all this first-class travel. Everything's first-class. PGA Tour, they kind of go, it's up to you. You do. You're on you. And I think the LIV Tour is maybe making a lot of people go, well, is there more of the PGA Tour? They came up with more money suddenly a few weeks ago, didn't they? That the PGA Tour might be able to go, well, maybe there are some things we need to look at. What do you think, Steve?
Right. Yeah. I think you're exactly right. The PGA Tour had this I heard about this ruling that was made, this antitrust ruling that went against the PGA Tour. I don't know. I really don't know how they're going to defend their position.
I don't know how
they're going to defend their position. Yeah, I don't know how they will defend their position with, hey, these guys are independent contractors. If they truly are, then, you know, they can play anywhere. And they have rights to play in those events. They've qualified for those events. And then they said arbitrarily, hey, you're out. You're not going to play in these events.
By the rules of the PGA Tour, Steve, is what they said.
Right.
And those rules have never been challenged and illegally, like with the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing
and
in
Frank,
a league.
You know business.
Oh, I've been in many of those meetings.
For a lot of people, antitrust might be a little confusing to some people. Can you break it down as far as what's the government going to look at with the PGA Tour and the antitrust? And for people that don't know, that just came out recently in the last few days, the U.S. the Justice Department is going to look into antitrust violations by the PGA Tour, all because of this LIV Tour. What does that break down to?
Well, it's just the fact that they can't make the rules up and change the rules. They're 501c3. They have to live by some tighter responsibilities. A charitable organization, okay? Tighter responsibilities than most corporations. And, you know, corporate bylaws and things state certain things, like if this, then this. If you do this, then you can't do this. But they just can't have a set of rules and change them in midstream with independent contractors who, by definition, you can't tell them when and where to be somewhere and what to do. In the corporate world where I was, they're free agents. In the corporate world where I was, we had an employee who was an independent contractor. We could not tell them, you have to be here at 8 o'clock and you can leave at 3 o'clock. Now we can tell them these are the rules. This is what we'd like you to abide by. And if you don't, then you're no longer an independent contractor with us. That's where it's going to get sticky with the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
But when you're a 501c, man, oh man.
Nonprofit.
And then the antitrust comes after you. Oh, good Lord. You really have opened yourself up for a lot of, you're going to make a lot of lawyers very wealthy. I'm serious.
Well, in the PGA Tour, not unlike the NFL. The NFL, by the way, was also a nonprofit. Up until, I believe, 5 or so years ago, it finally changed. But they got a certain exemption, just like the PGA Tour. People know there's profit there. They know there's a lot of money. When you say a nonprofit, it's almost like we get $1 million in and we put $1 million back out. Well, the PGA Tour brings in a lot of money, and then it pays a lot of people off, and they build things and they do things. So there's a lot of money being handled. they have certain exemptions that they've lived by. Yes. And the NFL did that for a long, long time until finally, I think enough people kind of go, okay, that's enough of that. I mean, you obviously are making billions of dollars. You're not a nonprofit. And that's where they're going to look into the PGA Tour and say, well, do you guys have the right to tell Phil and Brooks and Dustin that they can't play in your events if they want to go play over here?
Well, if the tour has violated antitrust law, that's a crap storm right there. That could shut them down. That could nail them.
Oh, God. So it's got to be a fear of that. Now, Steve, let me ask you this part about the LIV Tour since we're talking about it. They don't have a TV contract. I mean, you have to watch it. It's streaming. Maybe they'll get one, but you have to watch on their website and whatnot. Have you watched? Have you shown any interest in two events so far, London and Portland? Do you care? Do you watch that? Or are you kind of, I just want to watch the PGA Tour guys and not these guys over here?
Well, you know, the whole competition thing and all that and the shotgun start and all, what I really like is seeing these different courses. Like, I've never seen many courses in Portland, Oregon. I've never seen many courses in England. I like it. I like watching it. And you know, these are guys that are recognizable names, too. So it's not like I'd much rather watch that than the DP World Tour. You know, heck, half these guys, you don't even know who they are.
True. Right.
And
that's
true. It's getting that way on the PGA Tour, to be honest. I mean, you watch the tournament at the John Deere. Holy man.
Well, the Barbasol. I mean, the Barbasol was kind of, whoa, wait a minute. Who are these guys?
Frank, Steve, and Tim were playing at Barbasol.
Yeah.
We almost made the field. Yeah. You're right. Once you get past, let's say, 25 names even, you start getting into, and I, you know, look at the results every week. You look at the bottom or anywhere, you can definitely look at way more than half that field of the guys who make the cut have no idea who Patton Kizzire is, have no idea who Trey Mullinex is. There's all these guys that are – so brings to the point to me, Steve, is – and Frank, I want you to chime in as well. When the guys like Rory or Spieth or – this is very successful, Tiger – have said, no, I'm a PGA Tour guy, I'm not going to do it, not going to do it. They're in a different position. It's almost like LeBron saying, here's what I want to do in the NBA. And meanwhile, you're the number 12 guy on the bench playing for the Orlando Magic. You're not in the same position as LeBron. You're looking to keep your family fed. And I mean that air quotes, but you're trying to do as best you can for your family. LeBron's got billions. Tiger is in a different category. If you're a Trey Mullinex, just as an example, an average PGA Tour guy who's trying to keep his card, trying to make a living, you got to look at the LIV Tour differently than Tiger and Rory does, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's going too. I mean, he said, hey, I'm looking forward. This is going to be the last PGA Tour event I ever play. So I think he's going over. But can you blame him? No. And I'd heard rumors that after the Open Championship, a lot more guys are going.
Yep. We've heard that too.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. Because, you know, for us, I mean, we're golf fans. I don't care where they play. If we can see great players at great venues, what the heck? I mean, it's entertainment.
Well, there's a huge stink about them using some Trump facilities for some of the tournaments. And guess what? I mean, Steve, you know this. Tim, you know this. We've all played them. Those are some damn nice facilities. So, yeah, I'd like to see some golf on. I can't wait to see golf back at Doral. I thought that was a horrible situation when they took that tournament away from Doral. That was one of my favorites, just because it had been there so long and Cadillac had been the sponsor for so long. And they move it to Mexico City, and then the first time they have it there, some players are out having dinner and they get the Rolexes lifted off their arms. You know, really? I'm serious. It happened.
And was so that Chicago?
Well, by way of Mexico City, How you doing? I'm watching your watch for you. Yeah, uh-huh. Boom.
So it does bring up the politics too, Frank.
Yeah, it does.
What golf has become, right? There's politics in Greg Norman not getting invited. There's politics in you can't play here because you're getting money from Saudi Arabia. The politics of all this, and now the politics literally of the antitrust and everything, it seems like, and let's add a fourth one, as you just said, Trump. You know, that's all about strictly politics. I don't like Trump, therefore don't play at his golf courses. Yeah. And yet we play in Mexico and in China, and the PGA Tour goes wherever they want to go, but apparently they have certain conditions, almost like you're saying, Frank, that they pick and choose the parts of the antitrust thing they want to live by or not live by, and the 401(c)(3) is you can't have a little bit, not all of it. They want to have this higher ground of 501, not take Saudi money.
Not Formula 4.
There's other money out there. There's all kinds of other money that's out there. So why is it just – so it does seem like there's so many parts of it, as Steve said. If you're just a golf fan, just play golf. I want to watch you play golf and get birdies, right, and hit 350-yard drives.
We're not talking about LIV is giving millions of dollars now back to the communities. So they're doing some charitable things. They're starting to do that, which is good. So I'm talking too much. We need to let our guests talk. And I'll shut up after this statement.
That's all right. I'm taking notes, Frank.
Yeah. So you can repudiate everything I've said so far. Yeah. But it just I don't know. I'm just going to hush because it frustrates the ever loving you know what out of me dealing with all this because DP World Tour, that's a United Arab Emirates company, DP. The China series, well, guess what? They have violations of human rights.
Human rights
do
issues.
Do they not?
Yeah.
I mean, just what went on when they locked down everybody's money yesterday in China? Started closing the banks and locking down their money to punish them? Okay. Yeah. And people disappear? Russia? I mean, it's crazy. Let's get back to what it is. It's golf, and let's enjoy the sport, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm standing. I'm giving you a standing ovation right now, Frank.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, so we're all in agreement.
You're taking off the headset and walking off, or what?
Yeah.
back to the 150th playing of the Open Championship.
And see, nobody's talking about the 150th. They're not.
There we go. I know. You're right. And so we'll, and that's the point is that there's so much other things that are happening that the PGA Tour has to be. They have to be smarter PR people. Oh. They can't just act like this isn't gonna. Yes, it's an image. That
it's
you're
not
presenting
going away,
out
folks.
There, and again, your marketing people are going. You know, everybody's talking about the LIV Tour. Well, they should be talking about St. Andrews. They're not.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk more a little bit about St. Andrews right now. Have either of you been there, St. Andrews, Frank? Steve?
I have.
No.
I have.
No.
I've been to the Jigger Inn. The Jigger Inn's one of my favorite places. As a matter of fact, yeah.
So, Steve, you're with me. I haven't been there either. When you watch, and I know it's different, and everybody's going to say different. But is different better? People act like, you know, it's the Holy Grail, and it's a lot of it because of the age of it. But do you appreciate when guys are hitting balls on dirt fairways and when they hit a 9-iron, a cloud of dust flies up, the ball rolls out, it goes into some hay, and it looks like there's no maintenance. And if I'm not mistaken, St. Andrews is a public park. So anybody can play on it. They actually can actually go there and have a picnic at St. Andrews as well. It literally is a park. In the town of St. Andrews, yes. They were talking about that on the Golf Channel, that they've been there and seen people laying out blankets, not in the middle of fairway, but just off the fairway while guys are playing golf because it's a park that you can go and have
fun
with your kids. So it doesn't look like it's maintained is what I'm saying, Steve. You watch it and kind of go, boy, that's just so different than the golf we're used to watching.
It is a lot different. The maintenance of the golf course and I'm sure they have irrigation now. They didn't used to have irrigation. They just would depend on Mother Nature. But it is a different look, that's for sure. And everyone says it's been over there. Hey, you got to experience it at least once. And I would love to before it's all over. I was invited a few years ago, and Hank had told me, he said, hey, we're going to go over. Hey, he said, we're going to go 2 weeks. We're going to go the week before, then we're going to stay the British Open. He said, I don't want you to go over there and say, hey, I got to go home now. So we're going to play golf and all that. And then I got disinvited. So,
what'd you do?
Not good.
What'd you do, Steve?
His wife wanted to go, so I'm out.
Well,
That's
not fair. He sees her all the time.
That's not fair.
It was
life ain't fair.
That's the way it goes.
Let's talk. Let's change gears for just a second. This is self-serving, of course. Most everything is with me. And see, I admitted it, Steve. Okay.
There you go. I hear you.
Launch monitors. That's
the first step. That's the first step, Frank.
Fell off the ladder. I got to 10 and fell off. Launch monitors. This is something that's, you know, Bushnell has just come out with one that's camera driven, and then you have TrackMan, which is radar, a Flight Scope, which is radar, Mevo. What do you guys use at the ranch?
We use TopTracer.
TopTracer. Okay.
Yeah, which is that is a product Callaway Golf bought, you know, the Top Golf, the Top Tracer that you see on television.
Right.
That's what we use. It is very accurate for the ball carry, how far the ball is carrying. The roll is just a mathematical equation, but it is very, very accurate. We like using it, and it's very easy to use. Some of this technology gives so much information, it confuses you, you know, it's just,
yeah.
I think, man. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what numbers I should be focusing on. But the biggest thing in
higher
golf
or lower?
The biggest thing in golf is no one knows how far they hit it anyway.
No, they don't.
You know, people think, hey, how far you hit your 8-iron? Oh, I hit it 150. Well, actually, they hit it a lot less than that. So,
yeah.
What does the average amateur hit an 8-iron? What, 120?
Well, I don't know if you can generalize in that, but I mean, it's all about club head speed and angle of approach. Yeah. If you're only swinging it at 60 miles an hour, you're not going to hit it 150.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's about club head speed and centeredness of hit and all that stuff.
Sure.
But the fact remains is people do not know how far they carry the ball. They overestimate how far they carry it. And that's why they get in trouble.
You see that all the time.
Unlike the pros.
Top tracer. Top tracer is really helpful. When I've gone there, Steve, to your place and you hit on a top tracer, you see the flight of the ball. And Frank, that's to his point. That's kind of what you want to know, right?
I mean,
how far it goes is important, but if you're trying to avoid hitting slices or you're hooking the ball or whatever, and you can hit shots and you see the flight of the ball is what you want, that's a really good indicator. That's what top tracer is.
I would look to Steve, and the reason I still want to go take a lesson with Steve is just, number one, because he's a fantastic teacher and his knowledge, because he can look at the numbers and see spin rate, side spin, smash factor, all that stuff. He can analyze that. He has the brains to do that. If that goes into my head, we're in big trouble because I won't be able to swing the golf club. And I think a lot of instructors today, in fact, I know of one right here in Nashville that had a girl from the University of Memphis who was coaching on the golf team, and her mother called me and said, Frank, I'm not going to say names, but can you give me an instructor because she has more numbers in her head. She can't swing the club anymore. And so I sent her to somebody who is a field instructor, really good guy that's with the PGA, high up in the PGA of America, happens to live in Franklin, Tennessee here. And within 2 days, she was back to, you know, back to normal. So, and that's what I think. And Steve, I'm talking a lot, but I want Steve's opinion on this. You know, is that not correct? That those numbers are for you to look at, not for Frank Bassett or you know, Jim Bob 17 handicap to look at, right?
Well, I mean, they help create a plan because, I mean, there are people that create plans that don't have an instructor standing behind them. But just even knowing what distance you're hitting them, I mean, there are so many – not all instructors are made the same. You know, I mean, it's just everyone thinks that, hey, it's a one-size-fits-all. It's not that way. What we look at is that we want the customer, the student, to have a good time. We want them to get some immediate results. We want them to see what direction they need to practice in. And you can't give them a lot of information if that's the goal, because they've got to be able to fix and see a result right away. If they don't see a result right away, you've lost them.
Okay.
So,
Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf talking about how to fix your game a little bit. And again, if you're in Dallas, check out the Golf Ranch. Go online, check out thegolfranch.net. And you can even – people come out there, Steve, with their own instructors, right? It's not all Steve Johnson. Obviously, you're too busy to do everybody. But you have a lot of instructors out there.
Yeah, we have 25 instructors. We've got something for everybody. We have 7 different languages we teach in. So, I mean, it's not a one-size-fits-all, that's for sure.
Yeah.
7 languages? Are there that many? I didn't even know it. Just in Dallas. There are that many different languages. By the way, is Tiger going to marry this girl? Just a question I'm asking. Every time I see Tiger now at St. Andrews, he's with his girlfriend.
We're going to matrimonial questions for Steve.
What's going on? They've been dating for 9 years or something, haven't they?
Yeah, just questions, I really don't know. If you were to pick a prospect out of a lineup, I would not have picked her.
Obviously, there's something that he loves.
Well, patch him in. You have his number, so just, you know, patch him in real quick.
So I brought up Tiger. I mean, that was obviously left field. But Tiger in general, both of you guys, what do you think, Steve? Tiger's chances of anything this week? Because they're sure promoting the heck out of him. I'm watching Golf Channel, and it's Tiger, 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 Tiger. Yeah. Seriously doing anything. Tiger walking here, walking there. It seems to me that they're using a lot of Tiger, and they always have, PGA Tour, to promote everything. I'm going to stick with what I've been saying anyway, which is he's not ready to be playing. I don't know if he'll ever get back to that same level, but he's to me, going to struggle to make the cut. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he'll make the cut. But, you know, if the J.P. McManus tournament was any indication, he's not ready.
No.
He's not ready to win.
Yeah.
But he's just so good. He's so smart. He knows his game. He's not going to waste shots out there. He's very comfortable playing in majors. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to win, but he will definitely make the cut. He'll be playing the weekend.
Have you boys heard the rumor, which I do not believe whatsoever, that Tiger was going to walk across the bridge and wave goodbye to golf?
That's what I that's what I was thinking too. I think I started that rumor, Frank.
I think I don't
he
doubt
says
it.
Goodbye to golf there. I think he says goodbye. I mean, I could really see that.
Really?
Uh huh.
To competitive golf.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That rumor's out there.
That you say that. Golf is the only sport, you know, at some point, Tom Brady will say goodbye. He has actually a couple
of years. He already has twice. Yeah.
But at some point, Michael Jordan, you know, Larry Bird, all these guys had to. And if you remember, even some great ones, as in Barry Sanders, quit at 31. 31, he had a lot of years left as a running back in Detroit, and he quit. Another guy that did almost the same thing was Bjorn Borg. You remember him, a great tennis player.
Yep.
Stopped playing at 30.
Yeah.
Still had a lot of tennis.
And then very sadly died of carbon monoxide poisoning, didn't he, in his apartment? Borg, yeah.
Bjorn Borg?
Yes, he did.
No, wasn't Bjorn Borg.
Who was it?
It wasn't Bjorn Borg.
It wasn't?
It was, it was an American player.
I was wrong.
Yeah, it wasn't Bjorn Borg.
Yeah, okay.
What is
I was going to say, we started a bad room.
I'm sorry.
Vitas Gerulaitis.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Vitas Gerulaitis. Yeah, Vitas.
How did I come up with that?
That was good.
How did you come up with that one?
That's one of those those 25 instructors.
Yeah. Vitas. Yeah, Vitas Gerulaitis. There you are. You're right. Yeah. So, but I'm just saying, there are guys who have quit kind of in their primes. Now, Tiger's certainly past his prime in golf, but golf lets you keep going if you want to keep going. So both you guys think that there's a chance he might say,
I didn't
no
say
senior
that.
Tour, no champions tour, no. Well, okay, Steve, you're saying you could see that happening?
I could see that happening. That was my great prediction of the week.
Oh, okay.
I can really see him. What better place to call it quits than St. Andrews?
How old is he now? 46, 47, something like that. He's one of those.
The guy can barely. I mean,
his birthday's the end of the year.
Hard time getting around, right, man.
Yeah.
Yes. And so you wonder if quality of life becomes the issue too. Is he going to say, you know, again, he can still play golf because it's not like you're running and jumping, basketball, football, things like that. You can still play golf. He's still going to be Tiger Woods. That would be awfully young to walk away. Now, Bobby Jones, Frank, you remember Bobby Jones. You guys grew up together in Mississippi. Bobby Jones.
He's from Georgia, for God's sake.
Bobby Jones. Didn't he quit at 29 or something, Frank? 30?
Well, he was ill.
He became a lawyer.
He had back problems. He was relegated to a wheelchair.
But he was still the dominant player of the time, right? And so guys have done that. That would be fascinating to me. I always admire to some degree the guys that don't linger, that don't say, you know, I'm going to play, I'm Kareem. I'm going to play till I'm 47 years. And they're never the same, right? They diminish skills. They're just kind of hanging on. If Tiger really thinks, I might not be able to play at that level, and I'm not going to be able to have the family life or whatever he might have planned, maybe he's going to get married, then... Wow, it could be.
Well, that's the rumor.
So fascinating.
I didn't know Steve started.
Stop on the bridge.
That's okay. Stop on the bridge and say, oh, by the way. Well, that would kind of calm the Live Golf story. No, it would kick in that he's going to go to Live Golf.
That would be a headline. Could he walk away from the fame,
Steve? Rumors that he's going to go to the Live?
No. I haven't heard that whatsoever, but I did hear the rumor.
Well, Frank's starting one.
No, I'm not. I'm not starting that. No, I don't. I don't need people sending me stuff. Mm-mm.
Steve, you've been around Tiger an awful lot, certainly more than the rest of us. Would his ego allow for him not to continue to be Tiger Woods? He's got to eat that up, even though he knows maybe I'm not the same, but he sees the same NBC promos. He sees commercials and all that. He knows Tiger still is Tiger, right? As a third person, Tiger's a big deal. Can he walk away from that, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because he's going to do other things, Tim. He's going to be a businessman. He's going to, you know, he will still be in the public forum, just in a different way. I mean, I could see him. I don't think I could really see him getting into politics, but I could see him, like Greg Norman,
hosting a tournament.
Just a solid businessman.
Well, and a philanthropist, too. I mean, he's a big philanthropist that people don't realize how much he really does. I mean, the average, we know, but average folks out there really don't see how much he really does. Right. So, yeah, I can kind of see that, guys, though, because you don't want to see a Tiger Woods collapse on the golf course like he did at the PGA and have to just pull out again.
No,
you don't want to see that. No. It's like Elvis. Elvis is gone, and I'm not glad he was dead at that age, but who wants to see a 70-year-old Marilyn Monroe or a 75-year-old Elvis on stage trying to perform? You don't. Or Tiger Woods just sinking. It's not the same. To me, it would diminish his legacy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, too, Steve, like who of the old guys, before you had a Champions Tour, when did Hogan, Nelson, Byron, I think, stop playing in early 30s, didn't he? 33, 34, I think, started a family. Didn't a lot of guys before there was a Champions Tour, even in golf, they didn't go much past their mid-30s, did they?
No, they disappeared. They hung on there as long as they could. Like Billy Casper, I mean, the PGA Tour Champions rejuvenated his career.
Yeah.
You know, when you turn 40, 45 years old, you're in no man's land. I mean, you can't hit the ball far enough. There are very few examples of guys that are competitive at that age. The wear and tear of the game. Back in the day, there wasn't a lot of money, so they had to continue to play. I mean, Billy Casper, that Callaway wooden shafted club was a big benefit to him in terms of getting some cash. And when the PGA Tour Champions came along, I mean, it rejuvenated his career.
Well, Tiger's certainly not going to have to worry about money, but I would imagine he could still fulfill his life with course design. He's only done a few, right, courses. I think the last one might have been the one in the Ozarks. So he can certainly do more like Nicklaus has done and travel the world. And Jack's never really been out of the limelight. He has his own tournament. Tiger could certainly have the Tiger Woods tournament on the PGA Tour. So he would have access to fulfillment, if you will. If he needed some ego massaging, I'm sure Jack likes being Jack and having all that.
Uh-huh.
That's an interesting point. Would Tiger be willing to say, okay, that's it. I've had 28 surgeries and the body is, as I've said this before, his body is more like a 60-year-old than a 47-year-old. Maybe it would be.
Well, remember the picture that was taken yesterday of he and Jack on the Slocum Bridge together?
Yeah.
That was pretty, I don't know.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jack was honored as a
prediction.
It's all pointing to him walking away from golf.
Steve, he's an honorary citizen now. Do you see that, Jack?
Yeah.
Only one other man.
They gave him an honorary citizenship. And who are the other two? There's only three Americans that are honorary.
Oh, is it three? I thought it was only two.
There's three. Do you know the three?
Who are they?
Jones is one.
Well, I'm asking the question.
What? You said that there wasn't going to be.
Is it Nelson?
Okay, I don't know.
Byron Nelson?
No, it's Bobby Jones and
Bobby Jones, who
Benjamin
else?
Franklin.
Who?
Benjamin Franklin.
Well, you didn't say that citizen. Was a dead giveaway. I mean, you just, Go fly a kite, Tim.
I did not even know he was such a great golfer, but apparently Ben Franklin had like a 3 handicap.
How many majors did he win?
Wow.
So those are the three. My guess is, back to our talk here, is that Tiger would probably be in that category too, right? Go down the road a little bit, 20 years, 30 years. They'd probably put Tiger as another.
Well, Nicklaus said when he walked away in, what was it, 2000, was it 5? When Nicklaus.
Is that when he last played at
St. Andrews? He said he would not go back. He wanted to leave the legacy right there, and he hasn't until this. Yeah. He said, I had to come back because of this. They brought me back.
Because he was being honored. By the way, Golf Channel is showing Tiger, shockingly. It's all Tiger all the time. And he's on 18, and he's out in the middle of, not in the middle of fairway. He's 30, 40, 50 yards off the green, and he's
with his drive,
chipping and putting the ball.
Really? No,
he's hitting like runners, like you were saying, Frank, like 7 irons, just running a 7 iron up from 50 yards out. And now he got a little bit closer, and they're showing him he's putting from like 20 yards off the green. That you're not going to fly the ball. You're not going to hit a wedge and stop it on the greens. At least that's what he's practicing, is how to hit a 7 iron.
That's what Steve said.
And as they've said, it's all about where the ball ends, right? Steve, a good shot in links golf is not when you hit the shot and you see it. It's where it ends up, because there's all kinds of funky things when the ball's on the ground that can happen at St. Andrews or these kind of links courses, you kind of you have to wait to say, oh, it's a great shot when you see where it finally rolls out. Same thing happened in Scotland. Frank, you were watching. I saw a couple of shots. Spieth hit an iron one time because he wanted to lay back on a par four, hit an iron that had to have run 80 to 100 yards after it hit the ground. It didn't stop, and it was like probably a four iron. And I think it went to about 330.
That's
with,
why I'm,
with a four.
That's why I aim for cart paths. Yeah.
And, it,
guys,
and it didn't stop.
If we
stop.
Continue to talk, this tournament's going to be over.
It's going to start. It's going to. It will be here till Thursday when it starts. That was our plan. That was our plan. All right, go mow some lawn, Steve. I might come out and hit some balls today. Are you going to be around?
Come on. Yes.
Are you going to be there?
I'll be here. Yep.
Is it going to be like St. Andrews, right? That it'll be out there. It'll be brown out where the ball lands.
It will be brown.
I like
it
that.
It
will be brown. There's no sprinklers out there. I get my British Open fixed. All right, Stevie.
Thanks, Steve.
Good day today. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again
soon. Bring water, Tim. Bring water.
I will.
Yeah, with something in it.
See you guys. Yeah.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. All right. Take care.
See you, man.
Steve Johnson.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's kind of like we're just sitting around having a beer, right?
Yeah, that's what the show's all about. It's not about being totally politically correct. We just threw everybody under the bus today.
Dabbled in a little bit of everything, but yeah, it's I love the majors. Hey, let's take a break, Frank. We'll come up and kind of put a bow on this thing and maybe give a little prediction on who you might feel good about.
Okay.
Come Sunday at the St. Andrews. All right, you're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I'll be back with that bow right after this. Stay with us.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-870-4686. That's 800-870-4686. 800-870-4686.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you. Just finished talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, about the Open Championship. So we were saying during the break there, Frank, I want to clarify, because I know we have talked a lot about you getting new clubs. I didn't know that you got your new PXGs.
I did.
Those come in.
I had my new PXGs a few weeks ago, and I've been practicing with them. And let me tell you that my new PXGs they're phenomenal. I mean, I can't be more happy with a golf club than I am with these PXGs. All the way through the bag. I mean, the irons, I have, you know, the 0211, the forged. And then I have the Sugar Daddy 2 milled and forged wedges. And let me tell you, I'm spinning the ball better than I've ever spun it, with a little more control than I've ever had. And I absolutely love the clubs. And, you know, people talked about their driver wasn't really that great, they used to say. Some people would say that. Well, the new 0311 Gen 5, I have the Gen 5s, Generation 5s. Let me tell you, the thing of it is, I was fitted over a six-hour period, 2-3-hour fittings, basically. So, and they won't sell you clubs at PXG without that. I mean, you'll go through a fitting of sorts of some kind, maybe not to the level they put me on, because, you know, we're going to be a brand ambassador for them. But I've never hit clubs more confidently than I'm hitting these now.
Good.
That driver, trajectory, everything.
He wasn't high on the driver. Remember,
he had golf
clubs like anybody.
Yeah.
But you didn't love it.
But let me tell you.
I'm just saying, that's just one man's opinion, but you're liking it. You're hitting it good.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I wouldn't.
Good.
They don't stay at the club. I'll be honest with you. They go into my car and come home every night right now.
Because they cost more than your car.
Well, I have the Ventus shaft in my driver and got some pretty high-end shafts, the steel fiber shafts they put in my irons. Yeah, the shafts are real expensive. The thing of it is, if you want to play your best golf, you know, and you do, you've been fitted, your clubs are fitted to you, you know, go do it. Go do it. I would recommend it to anybody. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a commercial right now for PXG because we have one we're going to run. But I am. I'm a walking, talking commercial. And the thing of it is, I'll tell you this. The other day on the course, let's see, I birdied one, parred two, parred three, birdied four, birdied the two, number one and number two handicap holes on the course. And it's just because I feel confident with those clubs in my hand and over the ball and trajectory. Everything's working for me right now. Knock on wood. My good friend Roger Sarche is in town from the West Coast. There we're getting Laura Bryna, who's a, you know, we know Laura. She's part of the Golf Talk America crew, is doing a new music video. And she just went to, I think, number 10. Her new song went to number 10, by the way, Tim. So,
really?
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
everything's going good in your world.
It is.
PXGs.
PXGs.
She's number 10.
And my favorite thing is nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period. Love that line from Bob Parsons. And one plug for Bob and Renee Parsons. I have to say this out from my heart. He has a foundation, the Bob and Renee Foundation, Parsons Foundation, for PTSD, for people with PTSD, and the modern treatments for PTSD. So I would recommend to all of our listeners, go out there and check it out. Check out, you know, PXG.com for sure, and go out and check out the Bob and Renee Parsons Foundation because they do a lot of good work. The reason I say that is Bob's a Vietnam veteran. My good friend Roger Sarche is a Vietnam veteran, and they were both in the throes of the deep part of Vietnam. So,
yeah,
good on them. You know, good on Bob and Renee Parsons. So,
I'm glad you're liking your clubs.
I love them, man. Yeah. I love them. Everybody's pulled them and hit them. Of course, mine are fitted to me, so I tell them, you know, you're not going to hit them like you think you may because they probably don't fit you. But
there are certainly little differences, but my clubs I've found, and I've been fitted a number of times for different sets of clubs, almost the same specs every time. I have a very standard, you know, I'm 5'10", I'm a normal size guy, I'm not too tall, I don't have, so there's no, and I say weirdness, there's a lot of weirdness about me, but there's
me
no weirdness in the body, if you will, as far as the swing and all that. So everything I get is pretty standard. Every time I've done it, I kind of want them to go, oh, well, you know why you're having a problem with that 7-iron? Because you need to, oh, okay.
Well, you found out.
It's always just like, eh.
On that little trip you
just
went on
the standard.
Down to the Caribbean, you found out very quickly a couple of things you were doing from a great instructor who happened to be playing with you every day.
Right. And it wasn't the clubs. It was the it was the Indian, not the.
But here's the thing about PXG.
So, fixed it.
I got to tell you, and again, I'm not trying to do a commercial for them, but you know, I just love their product.
But you are.
But I am.
Okay.
Because those fittings, the instructor, and the fitter is also a scratch or plus golfer who worked with me on my swing and said, let's do this, let's adjust this a little bit, boom, boom, let's hit this now. So it's almost like taking a serious, long golf lesson along with the fitting. I mean, they just work with you. So it was pretty cool.
Good. Well, and we're going to break that out at that new game of yours at French Lick.
Yes, about three or four weeks. On that golf course, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, coming up the first, I think, aren't you flying in the 1st of August, August 1?
1st of August, yeah, so it'll be like...
For the Epson Tour. The Epson Tour stops at French Lick. They're playing it on the Pete Dye course, by the way, FrenchLick.com, great sponsor of ours. Brendan Sweeney and Dave Harner and the whole crew there,
we'll be
great folks. We'll be there. We'll be calling the golf and doing the show from there and playing a bunch of golf. We're going to play a different course, too, by the way, Tim. We're going to go down the road just a little bit to one of their sister golf courses and play, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
We may even go to Victoria National and try to just beat our brains in.
So, and that's in Evansville.
Evansville, Indiana.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah, I've never been in Evansville, Indiana before. But
home of Miss Budweiser. Did you know that? The race boat? The offshore race boat, Miss Budweiser? That's where Miss Budweiser was housed, Evansville.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
And the largest Budweiser distributor in the state of Indiana. His name is Spider Miller. Know that name?
How do you know all this? Yes. No, I don't.
I'm a plethora
Spider
of
Spider Miller, you mean from the USGA?
Yes, Spider Miller.
Yeah. He's a Miller Beer distributor?
No, Budweiser.
Or a Budweiser, Budweiser.
Biggest distributor in the state, yeah. Met Spider at French Lick years ago and played golf with him some. Then he goes over to Scotland to host the Walker Cup team. And he asked me, he said, would you like to come over and give an inspirational talk to the team? I said, yeah. He said, well, you can't.
Thanks for asking.
He's also a member of some pretty prestigious golf clubs, which we all know the names. We won't throw them out there. But Spider's one of the greatest guys. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to going to French Lick, although I will say this. Crazy hot, as I said at the beginning of the show, here in Texas and in Dallas forever, yeah. It seems like. It's just every day there's not a cloud in the sky. And from that standpoint, it's nice. I mean, if you like blue skies, because you never see a cloud. But it's this heat bubble, right, that's kind of over the entire state, this whole area. It is. It's Texas. It's summer. It's not. It's hotter than normal, but it's still, it's always going to be hotter.
It's cooler up on the mountain.
Oh, hang on. Here's my point. So when you go to – we went to French Lick – was not as temperature hot, but boy, it was sticky, wasn't it, when we played there? So hopefully it was very humid. A little nice cool breeze when we played there, but it was pretty humid when we played there. And I guess we're going to see. I still think we can sneak on the Pete Dye course, Frank's what I'm saying. I think there's a way we can get out there.
Well, we can.
I know that's where the event is. Am I right on this?
We probably could late in the day. Yeah, that's where the tournament is. It's a four-day tournament.
Because we're playing – we are going to play at the Donald Ross course. So they have a Pete Dye and a Donald Ross kind of right there. Two great courses. One's fairly new, like 20 years old. The other one is 120 years old and very different, very, very different golf courses. But to play both of them is such a thrill. So I think, Frank, I'm just saying, nobody's listening, right? Nobody's listening?
Nobody's listening.
You and I can maybe
get only about 150,000 people.
Just gonna sneak out there.
Well, we've done that.
Pete Dye was fun.
That's happened. That Pete Dye course is great at French Lick. It's fabulous.
Yeah, very hilly, very challenging.
Well, they're like it's and the Tom Bendelow, the 9-hole Tom Bendelow course. So you have, where can you go? What resort can you go to and have a Bendelow, a Dye, and a Ross course to play? Nowhere.
One is all I know.
French Lick, Indiana. Fly to Louisville. Fly to Evansville. You're an hour out. Hour and a half out on
Bird's
one.
Larry Sports Bar.
Yep.
Right?
Larry Bird.
All that stuff right there.
Oh, there's all sorts of fun stuff. The stables there are phenomenal. The spa's phenomenal. The restaurants.
The casino. Oh, my God.
The casino, not so much for me. I'm not a good gambler. On the golf course, I am.
Yeah.
Because press is my middle name. Yeah.
Press. Like Charles Barkley should have learned that. A long time ago, Phil Mickelson, right? Not to gamble.
Yeah.
Would have saved him millions.
Hey, so Phil, too. Phil, too. So, anyway, is Phil playing in the Open?
All right. Huh? We're about done. You know, I have not seen anything about him.
No. Just kidding. Yeah. Let's get away from that. We need to hush that. Hush that
no,
up.
No, I'm saying, no.
Hush that up.
Phil's eligible to play, right?
Yeah.
The PGA gave him.
Well, yeah, I guess.
So, I don't know. I assume he's there. Just haven't seen anything about it. All right, look forward to it. Oh, St. Andrews, it's going to be a great tournament starting on Thursday. But thanks, everybody, for listening to us. We'll tell you everything we got to know about the Open Championship, about Tiger and everything else. So listen, stay right here, and join us on our podcast each and every day. Go to all your different sources to find your podcast. Tell your friends about us, and we'd love to have more and more listeners. It's a great honor for us to be able to do this show for you guys each and every day. Thank you to Steve Johnson for joining us. Owner of the Golf Net, check him out, golfranch.net, golfranch.net for Steve Johnson. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. Remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.